Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Who will be the first Texan starter benched? Say after a month. 713-780-ESPN. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. YouTube, ESPN Houston. Twitter, at ESPN975.
I got two.
All right.
I got two, and I think the most likely one for me is going to be Kenyon Green. Ooh. As much as Kenyon Green, we've heard all these great improvements. We've seen it to some degree. The limited time we saw him in training camp and in preseason, I just think that that's a guy that we know A&M and we know he's a run blocker. I worry about his pass blocking. I worry about the fact that we knew going in they were going to pencil him in as a starter. And I think that that's a guy that I have concerns about. And then the other one would be, because he's a rookie, would be Lassiter on the other corner, just simply because of, like, even...
These are hot. Yeah. These are hot takes. Like, I disagree on both of them big time.
Like, you disagree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who's taking Kenyon Green's spot?
Well, I mean, if he's bad, look, last year they didn't have someone that was penciled in when they thought he was going to go down with an injury, but they found guys that could actually fill in to where you could find someone that was serviceably better than what he was giving you. So, yeah, it's cringeworthy, but I have real concerns about him being able to hold his own at left guard.
Okay. And I agree with you, like, training camp reports, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, like Damian Pierce early in training camp was looking great. It's about the games and how you play in the game. So, Kenyon Green looks – he's in great shape. He's looking good. Now, I did like the stuff that I saw on film with him. The preseason games I was impressed with. And I think – like, I don't think Kenyon Green is really going to, you know, live up to the hype of being a first-rounder. I think we're going to rue the day. I think we already rue the day where we – look at Kenyon Green, and he was the pick, instead of just keeping the pick and taking Kyle Hamilton. Like, I think all that stuff is fair. I just don't think Kenyon Green's losing his job to Kendrick Green. Like, I just do not see a world where that exists, you know, outside of an injury, but that's not being benched. I don't see that one happening. And then Lassiter, same deal, on a greater scale, I think. There's nobody behind Lassiter. You're looking at Okuda, who's been a borderline bust in the NFL. Chris Boyd's back there. Like, I'm concerned about the secondary depth after those guys. Not at all that Lassiter's going to be benched for one of them.
Is that as much as we've seen good things, we've heard good things, and look, I believe good things for him, but it's not even about who's behind him. If he's just getting cooked early in the season.
Well, it's very much about who's behind him. Like, I mean, you got to play the better guy. Like, even if it's a lesser of two evils thing, it's about the better guy.
Yeah, but if he's getting cooked and they've got a veteran behind him that's played before in Okuda, then or whoever else it is, I think that I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that we never have this conversation. But I would have concerns that if he's getting cooked, that they figure they got to make a change.
Why do you dislike Lassiter?
I don't dislike him at all.
Why do you think he's going to get benched? Yeah. No, I'm for real. Like, I what are you basing it off of?
It's not that I think they're going to get benched. To me, it's like. It's the biggest concern I have. I guess I understand the question was most likely to. To me, most likely to would be Kenyon Green. To me, the concern with Lassiter is he's just not ready for prime time yet, no matter what they've seen and what they believe in speed and all the other things that were discussed.
Okay. The receivers for me, none of them. Big three, no. Tunsil, no. Kenyon Green, no. Juice Scruggs, no. Although your backup center, Jarrett Patterson, not bad. If Scruggs is awful, then, like, potentially. But no, I really don't see that happening. Shaq Mason, no. I don't think Tytus Howard would be benched this year.
Now, I know. They drafted a guy in the second round.
Yeah, I think that's more about the offseason, though. I think that Tytus Howard is playing his last year as a Houston Texan. I think they'll cut him with a post-June 1st designation next year, save a lot of money, and then use Blake Fisher at right tackle. I don't think we'll see Tytus Howard benched. A tight end, no. A quarterback, no. Running back, no. So I don't really see anybody on the offense being benched. Now, defensively, Will Anderson, Daniil Hunter, absolutely not. Foley, no. Mario Edwards, I think, could be a guy that's bench. And I know everybody loved him in training camp and like, oh, this guy's going to be great value. But Settle's going to come back at some point from the injury. And I think they ultimately want Settle to be that defensive tackle. So if Edwards starts the season kind of meh, Settle gets healthy, they're like, let's see what this looks like, I would have Mario Edwards on this list. The obvious one's Henry To'o, because Christian Harris is going to come back hopefully after four games into the season. So Henry To'o would be at the very top of my list, followed by Edwards. I don't see it with the corners. Now, are we talking about 4-3? Because I could see Bullock playing here pretty quickly, but I don't really see it in a 4-3. I think it's 4-3,
Jake Hanson would probably be the linebacker.
And I think he would be bench.
Yeah, he would be the Hanson would be the linebacker bench when Christian Harris returns.
And if we're going nickel, I don't know if Bullock starting the season as the starter in the nickel packages. It wouldn't shock me if it's Eric Murray. So I think that that's something that could change pretty quickly, too. If Murray's the starter in the nickel packages week one of the year, I think he's benched pretty quickly for Bullock. The two linebackers or one linebacker, whatever package you're in, To'o, Hanson. And then I'll put Edwards as my distant fourth, but the other guys are my top three.
Is Jimmy Ward, you got Jimmy Ward starting?
Yeah, I don't see him being benched.
I think Jimmy Ward's more about injury than it would
yeah,
be.
Same. Yeah,
same. Than it would be.
If he's healthy,
he's
capable, I think he's playing.
In terms of understanding the position, yeah, but he just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I think he's playing if he stays. And look, they like him. Like, they could have cut him and saved some money in the offseason. They didn't. And then secondly, they extended him a year. They extended him another year. So, like, they showed us twice that they really like Jimmy Ward.
Decent money.
Yeah, so I think that they think highly of Jimmy Ward. D'Amico raves about Jimmy Ward and what he means. He's kind of old. He's kind of old, and he was injured last year. Hopefully he stays healthy. I'm really interested what they do if he does get hurt, though. Like, now you're looking at a Kalen Bullock, Eric Murray situation. Are you thinking about moving Petrie back to safety in the nickel and then playing somebody else at nickel like a Miles Bryant? Like, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Lesser of two evils, I think that's what they would do first.
You think that's what they would do? If Ward got hurt, your nickel package is now Petrie and Bullock, and you're playing Bryant and nickel.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Brian? I don't know.
It's
I don't know
great,
what they're
doing. But I think that's the best case scenario.
It's the better. I think you're right. I think it's a better. I mean, it depends on how Petrie's playing at the nickel, though. If Petrie's lights out at the nickel, you don't want to move him. But of those three guys, like if you're going Bullock, Petrie, Miles Bryant, is that better than Bullock, Murray, Petrie? It's a wash.
It's tough.
Yeah, the question marks are the same for me.
Yeah. It depends on how Petrie's playing in the
nickel. Going back to our 4 o'clock segment about, you know, why would they miss the playoffs, that kind of gets into that territory. Because either way, I have concerns.
So who's benched for you?
I mean, I think the obvious kind of cheat answers to this are the defensive names brought up. Because obviously Tim Settle, Christian Harris, you're gonna get some guys back. We didn't mention D'Amico Autry, but because technically he's 6 weeks in that first month, but same thing there. He's going to come in and take somebody's spot. So those are kind of the cheat answers. I'm going to go back to the offensive side. I agree that it's not tight end. It's not wide receivers, obviously not quarterback. And not running back as much as I would like to believe that's a possibility. To me, it's center and it's right tackle. And I know it's probably unlikely. The odds on it are low. But I can see if Juice Scruggs or Titus Howard struggle, then making the switch to either Jarrett Patterson or Blake Fisher.
Yeah. I could see Patterson getting a look pretty quickly if somebody struggles. And I think it could be in any of the three interior offensive line spots. Now, I'm not expecting Shaq Mason to struggle. I'm really not expecting any of those three to struggle. Like, Scruggs, I think Scruggs' rookie year was kind of meh.
But he wasn't playing center.
Yeah, I didn't like
exactly.
him at left
center. Center's his best position. Yeah. So, like, he was holding his head above water. He was surviving. But his best position, center. And I think if he was holding his head above water at left guard, I think he's going to be solid at center.
I agree with that because I think a lot of it too is CJ's such an intelligent quarterback. A lot of centers, and the latest was, you know, with Kelsey and Hurts saying now he gets to be able to read the defenses more and call things out. Centers, really good centers, do that. You're not expecting a center, I don't think, in this situation to do that, especially a young center. So I think you could live with Patterson at center. He showed that he could hold his own, but I think Juice's natural position that he's best at is center. So I don't have too many concerns about him.
See, I don't know if D'Amico, and going back to Autry, I don't know if D'Amico Autry is going to be an early down defensive tackle. I think he's going to be like a super, super reserve. Like, I think he'll play second, third downs.
Like, base 4-3, I don't think he'd be in. But it depends on your split of nickel and 4-3, and I guess the technicality of what's on the field first. But I think in the sub packages, the nickel package, I think D'Amico Autry's in.
I don't know.
I think he's in more than he's not. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'm curious how they're going to use him.
Yeah, I think they're going to move him all over. He's going to be the Mauricio Dubon of the Texans defense. They'll move him all over the place. But I think to start the season, I think that they probably would have started him inside.
You have to go. I don't think he would have started. I don't think he'd be on the field on first down. No, I don't. I think he'd be, okay, you first and 10, offense gets a yard, second and 9, now you're bringing him in. Third and long, pass rushing situations, no doubt, in. I don't think he'd be one of your first four offensive or defensive linemen on the field on a first and 10 in either package. Of the specialist, the good news is you have some good specialists. You're not talking about the return game. Tommy Townsend, who hangs out with Taylor Swift, like he's not getting cut. He's Tommy Trash Talk. Now, we do see people and fans have a very short leash when it comes to place kickers. Mm-hmm. You miss two in one game, you miss an extra point the next game, you miss a 42-yarder for the win the week after that, and fans are ready to kick the kicker out of town. How long is the Fairbairn leash?
I think they learned the lesson last year. I think based on what they were faced to deal with Amendola and the fact that 50 yards was a stretch, to say the least, I think people kind of got a very stiff dose of reality to change that opinion and slow their roll before they started clamoring too much for Cammy Fairbairn to be replaced.
Yeah,
Fairbairn's leash is a million miles long.
It's just about his salary that people were critical of, but the fact is
he's been great. I don't get the criticism. He had like one bad year every other year, which has gone back to pre-COVID. People forget how long he's been with this team, but he had one bad year every other year for the last 5-6 years. He's been great.
It's the nature of the business. It's like closers. Closers blow back-to-back saves. This guy's a bomb. He's the worst in the world. Where those are the only two saves he's blown all year. It's the nature of the position.
Makes it more of a microscope. If you're like,
I think that's more of a thing of the past when it comes to Fairbairn. I don't think people even look at the contract with Fairbairn anymore. They did in the past with the O'Brien deal, but I don't think so anymore.
I think probably because more kickers got paid too.
They have.
Yeah, so he's moved down the list.
Well, he got a new deal.
Three or top.
He got a new deal recently.
Yeah, but I don't think he's top three or top five.
He might be top five, actually. I think now you did have Dicker and...
what's his name from Baltimore? Justin Turner's got to be number
Tucker.
One.
Tucker.
Tucker. Yeah, Turner. He's got to be number one.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the kicker salaries recently. This is not something I do a whole lot.
Let's look
at
the highest paid kickers in the NFL.
You want to do average annual?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fairbairn makes 5-3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's tied for 7th. Okay. Tied for 7th with Dustin Hopkins. The highest paid kicker is actually somebody who just got paid.
Cameron Dicker?
Nope.
Is that Greg the Leg?
Well, it doesn't have Cameron Dicker's update. It might be Dicker. What did Dicker get paid, you know? The current one is Harrison Butker at 6.4. I don't know how much Dicker got on his contract extension.
God, Greg the Leg. Greg Zuerlein.
Yeah, but he's bounced around. Like, he's not very...
But he was making 8-4 with the Jets.
That's a lot.
That is a lot for a kicker.
Yeah, Dicker re-upped with the Chargers. He got paid. I don't know if the details of his contract are out yet. I thought I saw him, though. I don't know. You find that, Brian.
6.4 yeah, for like Butker.
That's what you said.
Yeah, and Justin Tucker's third, or actually tied for second. But
yeah, he probably just hadn't had a deal done recently.
Yeah. He's due in 2029, so he probably did just re-up.
No, I agree with Brian in that Fairbairn's leash. I mean, I think his leash is a million miles long. Now, when it comes to the public perception, if Fairbairn misses a game winner in week one, people are going to be ready to run him out of town. No doubt in my mind. If he misses two field goals in week one and the final field goal is to win a game from 42 yards out, there's going to be people calling us and texting us on Monday saying they should get rid of that bum. It's the nature of the position.
Kickers are a dime a dozen. Go find another one. This is ridiculous. Oh, there's no question about it.
And they're really not. Like, I think that you brought up the Amendola thing. Mm-hmm. It was not pretty with Amendola last year.
No, and you know what? And there's no guarantees either, because you see the guys that are drafted now and teams are using higher and higher draft picks on them, and then they realize that it's a whole different set of circumstances in the league and with the pressure that goes with it. And the fact is that, you know, if you're a good team and have a bad kicker, it's a bad situation, and you could be gone quickly if you don't get the established guys like the Texans have had.
Dicker got about 5.5 a year. He's tied for 5th.
Yeah, 4 years, 22, I just found.
5.5. So Butker's the highest paid kicker in the NFL. Harrison Butker. That's a great job, man. You get a kick for Kansas City, be the highest paid in the league.
And he's got a thunderous leg, too.
Not a bad gig if you can get it. People wanted him out of the NFL, too, in the offseason. Kansas City said, out of the NFL?
Well, it wasn't about football.
We're going to pay you more money than any kicker in the NFL. The Chiefs will. The Chiefs also have the punt god.
Yeah, the guy.
Did he make the team?
Yeah.
Is he their starting punter?
He's the starting punter, I'm almost positive.
Chiefs aren't afraid to have a few questionable characters on the team.
I mean, Bucker's not questionable. He just has an opinion that people didn't like.
The overall arching look of their roster.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he had made the team. Ariza?
Mm-hmm. The kid from Philadelphia's got a big leg, too. Elliott.
Jake Elliott?
Yeah.
He went to Memphis. Missed a field goal in our Peach Bowl year that would have changed that season entirely.
He had a couple big kicks for the Eagles early, like a 60 or something, I want to say.
You know who the best kicker? You know who I think is the best kicker in the NFL? We're spending way too much time talking about kickers. You know who I think is the best kicker in the NFL?
Hmm.
The Aubrey dude from Dallas.
Oh, he was
that dude.
He was really good last year.
I'm not sure.
He missed one. I think.
Did he?
I think he missed one.
He started with the stretch of like 20 something consecutive made. I didn't know if he actually missed one last year.
That guy's a weapon.
I thought it was like on national TV, and it was like, would they even try it because of the streak?
He might be their second best offensive player. Brandon Aubrey. I'm taking a shot at Cowboy fans. I'm just kidding. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is Bregman's injury the biggest concern for what could derail this team's World Series run? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Astros try to extend their winning streak tonight. 6:05, first pitch. Alex Bregman, there are reports that he's not going to be in the lineup today. Astros do have an off day tomorrow. They're playing a weird Monday, Wednesday, Thursday series against the Cincinnati Reds, I think because they wanted baseball to play on Labor Day. And then they're like, oh, no, the Astros have played a lot of games in a row. Let's give them Tuesday off. Let's give them their day off. They've had to work hard. They've played all of these games in a row. Today will mark the 18th when they get underway later, a little less than an hour. We're gonna reward them for working so much by giving them a day off Tuesday. Tuesday, that's a good day to have it. Tuesday will be your day off.
Blummer kind of alluded to it, that amongst the players in the league, it's always been a point of contention that on Labor Day they have to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made kind of mention of that, that they're the entertainment for everybody that gets off.
Of all the holidays to work, though,
Labor Day, the easiest. NFL players work on Thanksgiving, settle down, baseball.
Blummer's got this series off now, so he got it. He worked for it.
Who celebrates Labor Day?
Laborers.
Remember, I know, but you know what I mean.
Like, okay, so like we're obviously working, but if you're off, like, what are you actually doing? Sitting at home watching Netflix? I mean, not really doing anything anyway.
Trying to find something to do with your kids because they're not in school.
Yeah, exactly. And Labor Day, like, you don't ever hear of like the Memorial Day grill out, the July 4th, you know, cookout. You don't hear of the we're gonna have a Labor Day cookout. Like,
we got that. One of the questions we got in the last couple of weeks. What are you guys gonna grill for Labor Day? I was like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to fireworks. We're not having the family picnic.
Y'all sound like elitist right now. I like the blue collar workers. I think today is a very, very special day. You are being very elitist right now to the laborers.
As a blue collar guy, I could say that it's not offensive.
You're being very offensive to the blue collar worker right now. I'm a man of the people. I like the fact that they get the day off today.
Well, it's great. Everybody gets the day off on September 2nd. That's great. I'm just saying. I'm not barbecuing.
Hey, you're being disrespectful to Labor Day.
Not why. What, you respecting Labor Day by barbecuing?
No, you're saying that it's not a holiday that you're worth celebrating, that it's none like any of the other holidays.
That's not how I'm taking it. It's not like the 4th of July.
There you go. You put 4th of July.
Talking about barbecue.
You're putting 4th of July on a pedestal over Labor Day. That's disrespectful to Labor Day.
Power rank the federal holidays. Labor Day's last.
Disrespectful to Labor Day. Okay. You're proving my point.
As a blue-collar guy, I can say that. I can say that about Labor Day.
Very disrespectful to Labor Day and the laborers of our country.
So then you rank them.
I don't want to.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought.
Labor Day is an annual celebration of the social and economical achievements of American workers. And you are slapping in the face of the social and economic achievements of American workers.
It's a sad day. I hope they get to rest, sit on the couch, and just chill out all day. I just don't think barbecuing has ever come into my mind first and foremost when I think Labor Day.
On the third of the Killer Bees, I apologize to all of you, the laborers, who are being disrespected right now by listening to us labor on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Is Bregman's injury the biggest concern for what could derail this team's World Series run?
Look, I think with the way they're playing and the fact that if you believe anything of everything that we talked about earlier that we're hearing, that Kyle Tucker's in Cincinnati and they're planning on finding a way to get him playing by midweek, that Bregman is the biggest concern that this team has. The pitching staff has been lights out. You know, you're getting more help. You're getting stronger all around the diamond. You're getting Tucker back. You've added Gamble, even Hayward, and you're getting contributions. And now you look at it and say, we went through a stretch where we were concerned. Then Bregman played three or four games in a row. You felt a little better. Now suddenly he's missed three or four games in a row again. And for me personally, I'm starting to wonder, with as important as he is to the top of this lineup, with the way he's found it and the way he's been consistently getting hits for you and doing things for you in the top part of this lineup, and if you're getting Tucker back, to me, that is the biggest thing that could derail this whole thing. Because I think that as much as no one wants to admit it, this team is as talented as anybody in baseball. No one wants to play them. And if they keep playing the way that they're playing, they're capable of winning the whole thing. But that's with Alex Bregman. I know you survived Kyle Tucker, but the thing that really concerns me is if you don't get that consistent bat, and of course, the worst case scenario, he's in the lineup hitting. But you need him at third base, too, because we've seen the defense kind of take a step back when he's not playing third. But if you lose Alex Bregman, I think it could derail the whole thing.
I think you can win a World Series without Alex Bregman. I think you can. Now, does it diminish your odds? Yeah, absolutely it diminishes your odds. So, could it derail it? Yeah, I guess it could derail it. But I think you can still win it without him. I would have him as the fourth most valuable player to the offense. And then I would probably have him seventh with the overall team. Like, if you're talking about guys that, like, Yordan Alvarez injury would derail the Astros. Fromber, Hunter Brown, that would derail the Astros. So, like, in terms of value and who I need in the postseason, I would have Bregman fourth on offense. I would have Yordan ahead of him. I would have Tucker ahead of him. I would have Jose Altuve ahead of him. Probably Altuve ahead of Bregman, and then Bregman fourth. I don't know if there's another player that I would have ahead of Bregman in terms of who I need to have in the playoffs offensively. Then when you throw in the pitchers, I would have Fromber ahead of him. I would have Hunter Brown ahead of him. Would you have Kikuchi ahead of him?
Right now you probably he's in the conversation. I don't know if you'd have him ahead of him.
Let's call it a half, 6.5. Would you have Spencer Arrighetti ahead of him?
Not right now.
Okay. Would you have Josh Hader ahead of him?
No.
Okay. And that's probably no other relievers then. If you're saying no on Hader, you're not going to say yes on another reliever.
I think we're missing one,
so six,
though.
Who are we missing?
Yainer Diaz.
I thought about Yainer.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. I probably did overlook Yainer Diaz. It's my bad.
Clutch.
That's 7.5 guys that are more valuable than Alex Bregman. So I think you could have this conversation about all those other 7.5 just as much as Bregman. Now, I know that Bregman has the injury, but so does Tucker.
That's the focus for me, was like Verlander's in the conversation because of the fact he's coming back from injury and still coming back from it. Tucker, we're hearing he's going to come back. We're assuming he's going to be okay. You don't know. And Bregman, because of the fact that this thing seems to be lingering, if you assume that Verlander's going to continue to be back, if Tucker is going to get back, then to me, the biggest concern is without Alex Bregman, it does change the landscape for this team offensively, in my opinion, and defensively. And so I wasn't factoring in as much. If Yainer goes down, I mean, if Yordan goes down, obviously that changes everything. And same thing with Altuve. And Yainer to a certain degree too. But just because of the fact that we thought the worst when he went down the first time, and then he came back for multiple games to where you're like, okay, cool. It seems like everything's good. And now we didn't see him except for the Thursday night game at the Kansas City series, and we're not seeing him in Cincinnati tonight at least. That if this becomes a bigger deal, I think that's troublesome.
Sure. Yeah, it's troublesome. I think the question now becomes like how problematic can be. And I'm not freaking out about Alex Bregman not being in tonight's lineup when they get underway at 6:05, because like they've won 7 in a row, whatever it is. They've built a 6-game lead on the division. Like, give them, like, if you give them a day off today, now you're giving them 2 days off because you don't play tomorrow. So it made perfect sense for Bregman not to play today, because now you can extend him getting rest and, you know, rehab and treatment for an extra 2 days. So I have no problem with him not being in there today. That doesn't worry me. Espada, who, I mean, the Astros are not very truthful when it comes to injuries. Espada seems to be the most truthful when it comes to injuries. I don't know. He seems to have, like, think that Bregman could have been available yesterday to hit. So I take that as like a positive of all of this.
Do you not factor in the diciness of his upcoming free agency as well, to where he's going to make a business decision too, where the business decision has to factor in of, I'm not going to do anything to damage it more, knowing that if I'm damaged goods, I think it's a factor.
I think he's too much of a gamer.
I hope that's the case. But we've seen of other guys that maybe could be in that conversation. There's been guys where you just go, you didn't see that coming, but knowing that if he does more damage, it really...
Who do you think has done that that's been like a gamer?
Well, I mean, we've seen Grenard. You question, but you've seen guys in the past where you see guys, even in college nowadays.
I wouldn't call Grenard a gamer, though, quite frankly.
Okay.
Yeah, and the guy, I mean, college guys are opting out to get paid. Bregman's making $30-something million. Like, he's being paid. And I'm not sure the injury. Like, I'm not sure the injury. Like, if it's like, remember he had the injury back in the day where he had, like, whatever, what was it, bone chips or whatever that were loose in there?
Yeah, it was bone chips.
Like, that's a pretty easy fix. Like, he'll be completely 100% by opening day next year. And they wouldn't influence the free agency at all. Now, if it's a partial tear of the UCL, now it's a different conversation. So because we don't know what the injury is, it's hard for me to comment on that. Because if it's just loose embodiments or whatever, they clean that up and he's fine by opening day. If it's partially torn UCL and it's hanging on by a thread and he's Lance McCullers and it's going to rip, like, who knows, within the next 100 throws, then it's a different conversation. So the fact that we don't know might alter my answer to your question. But no, I don't think that.
Just crossed my mind because of the fact that he's hoping for a big, big, big bag of money. And nothing could derail that more than an injury that knocks him out for a portion of or all of next season.
Yeah, nothing that Bregman has ever done in his career would make me say yes to that question, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been a gamer. He's always been somebody who's played through injuries. He's played a ton of games. Like, he doesn't miss a whole lot. He's had a couple of injuries over time, like the hamstrings that one year. But dude's a bit of an Iron Man. Like, he's in a spot I talks about all the time. Like, he never wants days off. Even whenever he's hurt, he's like, get me back in there. No, I think Bregman's too much of a gamer.
Yeah, I hope so. You know what? I would understand it if he had to make a business decision, because it is such a substantial amount of money that it looks like is going to be on the table for him. But it did cross my mind.
Yeah. How do y'all feel about that? 713-780-3776. 0367, weird thought that came to me over the weekend. Hindsight being 2020, was the Jolks trade a miss with the current outfield situation? No. Jolks wasn't even a trade. They just DFA'd him.
Of success with the White Sox, a little bit of success, but then fell off.
And no, the answer is no, because the Astros have plenty of right-handed offensive like outfielders. Like, Jake Myers is a righty. Jolks hits about the same as Myers. Chaz has had a disastrous year, but he's a righty. Dubon can play out there as a righty. Dubon's a little bit better than Jolks offensively. And the Astros needed left-handed bats. That's why you've seen guys like Hamill and Ben Gamel and Hayward that have been brought in here. I don't think that Jolks would have been a factor even if they kept
him. Tommy Pham looked pretty good in a couple at bats this weekend.
Yeah, I wanted him at the deadline a lot and in the offseason. A little different now that they have Gamel and Hayward, but he would have been an upgrade over Chaz. And then this texter's he's sending us score predictions. He says 5-2 Reds. I guess he thinks that the score tonight will be – I guess he's predicting the Reds to win.
Could be right on top of it. 5-2
tonight. But I am looking forward to that game getting started in about 35 minutes. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. I got dragged on Twitter Saturday night. Why did I get dragged? I'll tell you why next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is the Bees. 713-780-ESPN. I got dragged on Twitter on Saturday night. I was working a U of H game. I actually DVR'd the Astros game, so I didn't even know I was being dragged. And that was the game that Yusei Kikuchi was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Double-digit strikeouts, 7 innings, longest he's gone as an Astro. Has continued his dominance as a Houston Astro. Yusei Kikuchi's made 6 starts with the Astros, and the Astros are 6-0 in those starts. He's got a 3-0 record, a 2.57 ERA, 47 strikeouts in 35 innings. Yusei Kikuchi has been phenomenal. Yusei Kikuchi, I say, potential AL Cy Young if he's an Astro next year. Now, he was terrible in Toronto. I obviously was not very pleased with the trade. You acquired a guy who hadn't been very good. You traded away a lot of players that are promising. Lil Perfido might still be your best left fielder. Willie Wagner, Billy's boy, has had a really good start to his career. I'm curious to see if he sustains that. And then the guy that I was really upset losing was Bloss. I think Bloss can turn into a middle-of-the-rotation starter, which is kind of what I figured Kikuchi was at best, a middle-of-the-rotation guy, back into the rotation guy. So I tweeted July 29th, day the Astros made the trade. Kikuchi doesn't even crack the Astros playoff rotation unless something goes wrong and he's up at the end of the year. Final year of his contract. I said I'm sick. San Antonio Tim, who thought the Astros season was over in March, said, can we get an update with a wink emoji? And, you know, he's chasing clout because, you know, that's what you do whenever you go after a social media influencer like me, a content creator. You get a little clout. You get people to like it because you've dunked on somebody who many, many people know. Now, look, I'll own it. Yusei Kikuchi has meant way more to this team than I ever thought imaginable. Yusei Kikuchi has kind of made this rotation whole. Like, there aren't days where you're just throwing a guy and like, uh-oh, I hope he gets to the fourth inning. Yusei Kikuchi's getting you at least to the middle of the game, got you late in the game Saturday. And again, the Astros have won every single one of his starts. I think the six-man rotation's been great for the Astros. Like, I think it's been good for the rest. I think it's the reason Arrigetti's been really good. Hunter Brown's been really good. Framber Valdez's been really good. Ronel Blanco's kind of, you know, come back into form a little bit as well. So, yes, I will own that. Yusei Kikuchi has been way more valuable to the Houston Astros than I ever thought was imaginable when the Astros made that trade on July 29th.
And we've talked about this when we talk about analyzing the trade and eventually, you know, passing judgment on who won the trade. Both things could be true because I'm with you, and I felt the same way. I didn't like the trade. I thought they gave up way too much. I was to some degree disgusted by the fact that they had to give up as much as they did for a guy that I didn't think was one of the top guys that everybody was targeting or looking at for being an effective starting pitcher in this league. I was wrong. Credit to the Astros, credit to the pitching coaches, Miller and Murphy, everything that they've done and the fact that they're getting what they're getting out of Kikuchi. But that's not to say that both can't be true and that the guys you gave up can all three, two of the three, even one of the three, turn out to be long-term mainstays for the Blue Jays. And so, you know, you can't pass judgment on the trade per se because for all intent and purposes, this is it for Kikuchi. He's going to be here for the rest of the year and he's gone. And you could have a couple guys that could end up spending a majority of their career and at least their controllable years with the Blue Jays.
Yeah. See, I still think it's way too early to determine the trade. And if we look, and again, the premises of this was that I dunked on Kikuchi, didn't think he was going to be very good. And Yusei Kikuchi has been the opposite of that. Yusei Kikuchi's been great. So I was wrong. I didn't think he was going to be good. He has been fantastic. Now, if we want to nitpick it, I don't think it's a slam dunk that Yusei Kikuchi's part of the Astros' playoff rotation. If the season were to end today, they're in the wild card series. They have a three-man rotation. Is Yusei Kikuchi cracking the three-man rotation? Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez are easily your 1-2.
Yep.
Now, the conversation begins. Will the Astros have the cojones to say, Justin Verlander, sorry, you're not in our playoff rotation? If it were me, I would do that. I would have that tough conversation because I'm not in the business of doing what's in the best interest of Justin Verlander. I'm in the business of doing what's best for the Houston Astros. Now, I don't know if the Astros would do that, but I would have Kikuchi ahead of Verlander. I have no problem with that. Do you have Kikuchi over Arrigetti? I mean, Arrigetti's also been fantastic. So who do you start there? If it's a heavy right-handed lineup, I'd probably go Arrigetti. If it's a heavy left-handed lineup, I'd probably go Kikuchi. And then I would admit that Ronel Blanco is probably the odd man out, despite having the second-best ERA in the entire American League. So does Yusei Kikuchi even crack the Astros playoff rotation if the playoffs started tomorrow? If you're in a three-man rotation tomorrow, because the wildcard series is best of three.
Yeah, for best of three, I think it's still open for discussion. I think that, look, he's a leading candidate. The 12 strikeouts on top of the fact that he went further than five-plus innings, the fact that he has been just doing everything and more than you ever could have anticipated. Do you believe more in him or do you believe more in the younger kid in Arrigetti to say does veteran experience versus – neither one of them really have any playoff experience to speak of. We mentioned that Kikuchi had one appearance in a playoff game. But – there's a lot, and you're right, matchups matter as well, too, when you start looking at all these things and analyzing how it goes. I would lean Kikuchi over a guy that's never even been to the playoffs before in Arrigetti.
Kikuchi's not going to have a playoff start either, though.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it's an open discussion. I think it's going to be ongoing, and I think that between now and the end of the regular season, not that you need it to play out because you don't want to see either guy falter.
Who would be your three right now?
Right now, it would be Framber, it would be Hunter Brown, and it would be Kikuchi.
I would probably go Kikuchi depending on the lineup.
I hate the fact that we're going to be force-fed Justin Verlander, but I think we all agree that it's pretty much.
I don't know. I'm really torn on this.
I think that it's a reality.
It would be between Kikuchi and Arrigetti for me. It would be depending on who I'm facing. If you have nine straight right-handed hitters, then give me Arrigetti against that. If you have you know, three really good lefties than give me Kikuchi against that. So it would depend on the matchup for me, but they would be my three and my four. I wouldn't have Justin Verlander in a three-man playoff rotation. I wouldn't have him in a four-man playoff rotation.
Yeah, I think that – I think as we discussed, I think that there's going to be an organizational feeling a certain type of way to favor Justin Verlander. But, yeah, for me, if it's a three-man rotation, I'm with you. It's between Arrigetti and Kikuchi for that third start. And the two are already set in stone with Fromber and Hunter Brown.
And you lean Kikuchi. I'm willing to wait on the matchup, but either three or four. I'm willing to admit that. You think the Astros would do it?
I don't.
You think he'd be their third starter?
I think Justin Verlander is going to be the third starter. Reality, calling it like I see it, and thinking about the way the Astros seem to think about doing things, I think that they're going to put Justin Verlander as the third starter.
Mm. Mm. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, Fromber, Hunter, you're 1-2. I would lean Kikuchi unless, like you said, it's some weird lineup that you're not expecting and it has nine righties in it. Like, I would give the tiebreaker to Kikuchi, but if it is a heavy, heavy right-handed lineup, I'd be willing to go Arrigetti there. But I'm with Joel. I think we're going to get Verlander. I mean, it's just... I think they're going to lean on and talk about back at the baseball card, the playoff experience, all that he's done for them in the past, and lead into that, and that'll be it. So, yeah, whether it's three-man or four-man, I think Verlander's in either way.
King of Twitch says, I've seen enough of JV. He's not magically finding it. And then he says, bad words to B-Mac. And then Screechamane says, nah, give me JV in the playoffs. Why, Screechamane? Why do you want JV in the playoffs? Is it back of baseball card? Is it what he's done in the past? Is it because he's big game Verlander? Now, Verlander has been really good in the playoffs with the exception of World Series. Right. But he's also never been in the playoffs when he's 41 years old. He's never been a 41-year-old in the playoffs.
Yeah, and no matter what you know about the back of the baseball card and his previous playoff experience, and like you said, the fact that aside from the World Series, he's been really good, but we've all admitted that he is not the same Justin Verlander as we've seen even a couple of years ago, 2 years ago maybe, prior to the surgery, even after the surgery. He's not the same pitcher. He doesn't have the same stuff. And so therefore, as much as I understand what his resume says, I need my three best pitchers in my three biggest games of the year. Yeah. And because he's also coming off an injury where he hasn't pitched a lot and he's still ramping up, I just don't feel comfortable saying that he deserves to be the third starter or should be.
Yeah, I think it's a race for three between Kikuchi and Arrigetti. I would agree with what Brian said. Slight lean or lean to Kikuchi, you know, depending on the lineup. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Although, I mean, Verlander can change the story when he pitches today. First pitch, 6:05. 713, Carla on Twitter said that the Astros are playing now. I don't believe her, though. I don't believe that the Astros are playing right now. 713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day? Hey, car wreck of the day with the Bees coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It'll be a car wreck for you Saturday if you don't go to the Red Bull Show Run coming to Houston this Saturday. You got to get out there. It's going to be great. If you're an F1 fan, get out there. Get out there to the Red Bull Show Run. And it's also free to everybody. It's free to all ages thanks to Red Bull bringing F1 to Houston September 7th this Saturday in the heart of downtown Houston at Discovery Green. See championship winning F1 cars doing sprints, burnouts, much, much more around Discovery Green on their custom-built racetrack. This will be the first time ever in the United States where you witness dual appearances with two championship-winning F1 cars. In addition to that, explore the Red Bull Fan Zone. Features local food vendors, all the Red Bull racing merch, racing simulators, know what it's like to be behind the wheel, and free activities for racing fans of all ages that will introduce you to the exciting world of Red Bull. Single-day admission-free event, open to everyone. Tickets not required. Bring the family out. Make sure you arrive early. Plan ahead to make the most of your experience at Red Bull. Head there Saturday, of course. Street closures will be in effect, so public transportation and ride shares are highly encouraged. The event will kick off around 10 a.m. with the opening of the Red Bull Fan Zone. Arrive early to experience the racing simulators, photo ops, and to claim your viewing spot. And then the racing action begins at noon. Do not be late to make sure you get the best spot around the track. Again, this Saturday, downtown Houston, Discovery Green. To learn more, visit redbull.com/showrunhouston. That's redbull.com/showrunhouston.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Car wreck of the day. Get to that in 3 minutes. 713-780-3776. As you hear, that's Verlander's music. Can Verlander change the perception we have of him not being a part of the Astros playoff rotation based on how he fares tonight in Cincy? That game kicks off in about 15 minutes or so. What are you expecting from Verlander tonight in the first game of a three-game, four-day series against Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe five runs in four. No, yeah, four and two-thirds.
Command bad? Especially early?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. Just I'm not taking that line.
Hope a blooper late doesn't cost him.
Yeah, I feel like Diner's going to try and save him in a lot of ways, but I just feel like he can't get out of
it. Yeah, that's not very good. I'm not going to take that. That's not going to change our narrative of like how he's performing and like where he stands in the Astros playoff rotation. Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
I hope at least if that happens that Jeremy Pena doesn't swing through an 86-mile-an-hour pitch straight down the middle with the bases loaded, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope if they do that, they score more than three runs through seven.
I hope Diner just gets one last chance.
Well, now you're talking about things that actually haven't happened.
I know.
I think you broke the trend there of what we were doing. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day today, Brian.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick! Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, car wreck of the day. I have a feeling it's going to be unanimous today. Lakers, what are you leading off with your car wreck of the day with today?
Well, my first car wreck of the day is the feud between Disney and DirecTV. It drove me nuts, and I don't want to hear from Keith from LA and other people saying, well, you should have bundled this and done that. No, because there was no advanced warning. Everybody that was out there was just used as a pawn in a negotiation between Disney, and I was looking forward to watching the USC-LSU game with the baseball game on my computer and sitting in front of the couch and checking out a whole bunch of sports, and then all of a sudden, without warning, here comes these static screens with press release statements and all this BS, and it's like, you have got to be freaking kidding me that they pulled this right in the middle of the holiday weekend. I thought it was atrocious.
What was your plan? Your TV setup?
I was going to watch the USC game on the big TV, and I was going to have my computer for the Sunday Night Baseball game.
You go to that length to watch Sunday Night Baseball?
It was a good game.
Man, I don't think I've watched a non-Astro Major League Baseball game all year.
Oh, I watch a lot of it.
I don't think I have. Have you, Brian?
I don't think
I've watched a single innings here and there.
Opening day.
And I watched the Mariners a lot.
Yeah, opening day especially. I did, but outside of that, no.
I'll put it on like MLB Network when there's a game on if I'm doing other work just to have it on as like fodder. But I don't think I've watched a full non-Astro Major League Baseball game all year.
Yesterday, we were dialed into Mariners Angels, and the Angels came back, took the lead and won.
Okay. Well, that's impressive. Yeah, the DirecTV ESPN feud. Now, I have ESPN Plus, fortunately. Mm-hmm. So I just a couple clicks away from putting it on. But, yeah, a lot of people are calling DirecTV, I heard. I heard a lot of people were calling up DirecTV saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to cancel if you don't give me my ESPN.
I think the anger is directed in the wrong place there. I'm glad Joel used the word pawn because it isn't always very convenient that these deals seem to expire exactly like when a big football game or some I don't buy for a second this is, not to say DirecTV isn't, possibly a money-hungry corporation.
They are.
Because they are. But the networks, like ESPN, always try to play the victim card. Like, they're going to take it away from you when the contracts are very conveniently scheduled to end right when they're about to have a big game where they can play that card.
I was looking at ESPN today too for the website during my prep, and they had like little ribbon banners on the side of their web pages saying you're gonna miss Boston College, Florida State if you have DirecTV. Click here, of this stuff. So they do it to each other. You're right,
but the fact that you weren't getting that prior to, and I know, look, I'm not a tennis fan like that, but a lot of people are big U.S. Open fans, and I guess live in the middle, and I don't know the exact time it went off, but I guess in the middle of a tennis match, It just went to the screen,
yeah.
And that was it. And it was like there was no advanced warning. There was no, hey, this is happening. It's happened with Channel 11 before here locally, where CBS was in negotiations and Channel 11 locally, and we lost Channel 11 for like weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But like
that was last year.
Yeah, but as a pawn, like to be stuck in the middle of it with no advanced warning and know that there was multiple things on multiple channels because it was all the ESPN platform. It was ABC. That sucked.
It's also 2024, though. There are other means. There are other means. Last year for the two CBS games, I did a free trial of Fubo for 1 week, and then I did a free trial, a week trial of YouTube TV for the other week.
Yeah,
and
I had it was YouTube back. TV, so I was unaffected, but...
And it was back.
That's right. It was the middle of Texan season.
Yeah,
and the Mr. Games. And NFL season for, like you said, for the other DirecTV markets.
I mean, that's gonna win, but I'll go ahead and say it. I'm sorry, Doug Lovers, Blinkers, but a dog does not belong in the broadcast booth.
I saw that.
Just gonna say it. I'll be the jerk.
Herbie's,
sorry.
Herbie's dog?
A dog does not belong in the broadcast booth. Does Herbie need an emotional support animal? I don't think that he does.
He's brought that dog along with him forever.
It doesn't belong
in
the booth.
He's got it in his deal. The dog flies.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, private with him.
How does Stadium sign off on this, though?
I don't know.
That's the thing that I'm wondering.
Yeah, a lot of stadiums these days have, for baseball at least, and a lot of stadiums will do the dog day.
But some probably don't.
Where does the dog go, though?
No, like, you can't, like Minute Maid Park, you can't bring a dog any day except for one.
Oh, but I'm saying, but they allow it on that day.
Right, but I'm sure that every game that Kirk Herbstreit's doing is not dog day.
No, but I'm sure that the...
And it's also football. I don't think they have dog day in football.
But I'm sure it's part of the pre-production meeting.
This is an elitist. It's an elitist here. Kirk Herbstreit's getting preferential treatment.
ABC's going to let people know in the stadium, and by the way, part of our deal with Kirk Herbstreit is he's bringing his lab.
Don't like it.
Yeah, no, I think the stadium had probably no problem. I just actually felt bad for the dog. Like, if it's got to go.
I thought about that, too.
They're in a press box way at the top of the stadium. Mm-hmm. How long is it going to take him to get out and go outside?
Disagree. I don't feel bad about the dog. I feel bad about the poor janitors that have to clean up after this dog.
Yeah, the dog's probably like,
I'm sure that there's a production assistant that'll take that dog down the elevator.
Yeah, okay, someone make it $30,000 a year.
That's going to take 15 minutes to get on grass.
Yeah, he's not going on grass.
Yeah, you don't have
I don't think so.
Doesn't necessarily have to be on grass.
I think he's going in the booth.
They're probably putting those potty pads down that they use for puppies.
That'd be smart.
Yeah,
that would be smart.
Yeah, that is actually a legit.
But I still feel bad for the assistant producer.
100%.
Herbstreit, if he's going to take his dog, one, he shouldn't be doing that. But secondly, if he does, he needs to be the one that's cleaning after his dog. It's what owners are supposed to do. Do you clean up after your dogs when you take them on a walk?
Yep.
Then Herbstreit should be cleaning up after his dogs, not the assistant producer.
But.
He didn't sign up for that.
And the bigger point is, too, regardless of whether it's in his deal or he brought the dog or not, the dog should be nowhere near their stand-up. And no way should you call attention to the dog and let it derail that portion of the student.
I don't think you should have a dog next to coworkers.
Hell, they made a joke of Reese Davis having to, like kind of push the dog away as it was.
What if Reese Davis doesn't like dogs?
Oh, Reese doesn't like dogs?
What if they don't? I don't know.
I asked you the day I brought my dog.
Yeah, you did. I didn't care.
Yeah, I think if you get permission from the coworker, it's fine. But you can't just bring your dog into work without asking your coworkers.
Yeah, 100%.
That's weird.
And Joel asked before he got here, so it wasn't like, hey, my dog's here. Do you care?
Someone asked in advance. Someone on Twitter said this to Kirk not that long ago, actually. A dog should be playing with other dogs, not trapped in a private jet and locked in a broadcast studio. Not good, Kirk. Also, Bama should have been in your top 12. Kirk Herbstreit quote tweeted and says, "You're a moron!" Exclamation point. Beat it. Two exclamation.
I gotta believe that the dog is probably at practice then, and everywhere that Kirk goes, right?
He does. Yeah, he's there. He's everywhere Herbie goes.
It's weird.
This is like the second generation of his second or third lab that he's done this with.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
What do you got, Brian?
I'm going to nominate, since we haven't brought it up today, I'm going to nominate the U of H Cougars losing to UNLV.
Oh, man.
The start of the Tony Levine, Willie Fritz era off to a roaring start.
Wow. Give him time.
Tony Levine left the Cougars in a really good spot. Let's not forget who the head coach was prior to Tom Herman.
I'm trolling, but they lost that opening game to Texas State or whatever it was, so that was the joke.
They'll be fine. Fritz will get them going. This isn't a win immediately move. Willie Fritz was won everywhere he's gone. He's going to win at U of H. It'll be fine. It's going to be just fine.
Gotta give him time.
I wore my U of H hat today because I'm loyal.
I wear my gear
when I'm loyal. I do that. King of Twitch wants to nominate you, Brian, for a variety of different things.
That's fine.
He's been a little fired up.
Are you going to, in between watching the Astros play, are you going to watch Bill O'Brien's first game at Boston College?
Not immediately because I got a fantasy draft tonight.
Oh, okay. Are you gonna try and get the punishment phase?
Brian's got friends.
Installed? No punishment in this league.
Brian's look at me.
This league is too expensive to have punishment.
Fantasy draft, I have friends. What else are you gonna be watching? Oh, you don't have ESPN.
Yeah, that's right.
I can send you a link.
Okay, send it to
you. I mean, you got a lot of pop-ups you have to navigate, but, you know, don't put it on a device that you are scared of getting viruses on. I'm gonna watch Bill O'Brien, Boco, for the content.
Hope he blows his top.
Yeah, exactly. Teapot Bill. All right, ESPN, DirecTV, yep. You win. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing the hard work. He's blank on Branham. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. ESPN National right now on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.